Blog Talk Radio.
My man Nelly, Murph Lee, Puff Daddy.
This is the master, and this is the master plan.
Off the bad boy, part two.
Too much fun starting to dance out here. Got to get along with the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Master Plan. We're going to get this thing going real quick because we got a lot of things to do and a lot of fun to have, and this is just the early part of Sunday. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. Say it again, it's 347-637-3220. The chat room is open, as always, with the Master. It's open season. Whatever you want to blow past me, whatever you want to say, bring it on. I can handle it. I've been around long enough, heard everything that you can possibly say or come out with. I don't care. Bring it if you want to bring it. I can deal with it. On the line with me, I have a co-host, Black the Bookie, who was at the Capitol Classic last night. He's trying to recoup because, from what I understand, he had so much fun. He met so many people, and in all that, it was an exciting game. From what I understand, besides that, they have a girls' basketball, which is a preliminary thing, and then they have the game itself. And the game, from what I understand, was a high-scoring game. Was it like 135 to 119 or something like that? But I'm going to bring my co-host in for a short time, at Black the Bookie, and he can run down what took place at the Capitol Classic. Black, welcome to the show.
Oh, how you doing, everybody? How you doing? Wonderful, wonderful time last night, the Capitol Classic. I had to thank Bob Gigan again, putting on this event as he always does. I got to give thanks out to Pam Shafazian, Sean May from the PGR group. It was an excellent event last night. As you said, the Capitol All-Stars took on the United States All-Stars. The United States All-Stars ended up winning the game, but this was a jam fest, high pace, back and forth scoring. I'm telling you, Virginia Tech, right now, if you're a Virginia Tech Hokie fan and you like Virginia Tech basketball, you're smiling ear to ear this morning. Your commit, Montrezl Harrell, was off the chain last night. Montrezl Harrell was MVP for the United States All-Stars, 6'7 power forward from the Hargrave Academy in Chatham, Virginia. He's going to Virginia Tech. Keep an eye out for Montrezl Harrell. If you want to follow him on Twitter, he's at MonsterTrez. At MonsterTrez, T-R-E-Z-Z. Wonderful, wonderful player. Very exciting. Had a lot of dunks last night. We got to see the Virginia combo, even though they were split on both sides. We had one guy, Justin Anderson, playing for the Capitol All-Stars, and we had Evan Nolte playing for the United States All-Stars. Both guys are headed to Virginia. Both guys looked good last night. But the story of the night was the Maryland recruits. We finally got a commit from Sam Cassell Jr. His big decision was he's headed to Maryland. So we actually had five guys in the game last night. You call it a mini 5-5 if you like. But we have Charles Mitchell going to Maryland, Seth Allen going to Maryland, Damonte Dodd going to Maryland, Sam Cassell Jr. going to Maryland, and Shaquille Clair all going to Maryland. Coach Turgeon has to be happy this morning. Serpent Nation is also happy. I talked to a couple of those fans last night. Everyone's excited. Wonderful recruiting class coming in to help out Mr. Coach Turgeon and the boys.
Okay. And from what I understand, Black, we got them loaded on here. I don't know who you want me to play first, but we have Justin Anderson. We also have Seth Allen. And we have the decision that you have talked about, what Sam Cassell hadn't decided on who he was going to go with, but was going to do it directly after the game. We have that clip also. I haven't listened to that clip, so I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to hear there.
What you're going to hear there, let me set that clip up if you're going to play that one now. What you're going to hear there was so many media there that was also trying to hear the decision. You're going to hear a lot of media guys talking with Sam here. I didn't get a question in edgewise because I already heard the announcements. And so everything that they were asking, I already heard, but I wanted to make sure that I got it down so people can hear who didn't hear it last night.
Okay. So we're going to play it's about a 3-minute clip, right?
And we're going to hear this. Yeah, I think it's about a 3-minute clip.
It's a little over 3 minutes, like three and a half minutes. But we're going to play the clip, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
I wanted to prepare, and it was like I knew Maryland was the free from when I first took the visit. But, yeah, that was good atmosphere.
How did you feel chemistry-wise, knowing all you put all five of you guys out there in the fourth quarter?
Oh, it was good. It was good. Everybody get a free preview next year, like I said.
Yeah. Sam, I covered your dad a long time. I never saw him dunk. So you were the first.
Yeah. No, he got a few dunks, but okay. In his younger years. I try to get a dunk in there.
What was the ultimate reason you decided on Maryland versus the other school?
Oh, it was just that I knew Maryland was the place to be, and I know I can make a huge impact there as a freshman.
What did Coach Turgeon say to you about what he expects out of your potential role on the team?
He told me to come in, don't change nothing, just play the way I play. Let's get down to defensive end.
I saw on Twitter a couple times you talked to Peyton Howard. You already know some of the guys on the team.
Oh, yeah. I know a couple guys. Pretty good.
How do you feel about the other guys that are coming to Maryland with you? That play on the side?
Oh, they love you. I love them. I mean, it's like we'll see next year. It's going to be good.
Anybody specifically you're ready to play with next year?
All the five of us coming in. This guy Jiggins in here. But all the freshmen, I'm ready to play with everybody. I'm coming ready.
How important is the Baltimore connection for you in terms of coming back after you went away for a couple of years?
Oh, it's good. Like I said, there's no place like home, so it's always good to come back and play for your city.
Now, your dad had come out a couple of weeks ago and said you hadn't made a decision yet. Was that him just being dad and saying, sort of like, make sure you make the right choice?
No, it was both of us. He sat down and talked, had a long talk. He said, I didn't take any visits, so I haven't got a chance to compare anything to see any other schools to compare them to Maryland. But I did it.
If you hadn't gone to Notre Dame, do you think you'd be in this position right now?
I don't know. Prep school is a whole different competition. You're playing with top players in the country every night, so it gets you ready for the next level.
I mean, do you think if you had stayed in Baltimore in high school, you would have been at this level?
Yeah.
Okay.
Were you bugging your coach here to get all the chirps on the floor at one time?
Oh, no. That was his game plan from the jump.
What, was doing late?
Yeah.
Keep everybody in suspense. How would you define yourself as a guard?
Huh?
How would you define yourself? What position are you?
Oh, I'm a point guard. Did
you get surprised for
give it to his dad.
Yeah.
So, Black, I'm looking at the lineup of both these teams that played, and it looked like, and I'm reading the article, too, after the interview was going on, it looked like it was the Virginia versus Maryland. That's what it looked like. It looked like there was a lot of Virginia players, guys that committed to Virginia versus a lot of guys that are committed to Maryland. I see an exciting time in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area in the next few years, as long as these guys stay in the school. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great. As long as Justin Anderson going to VA, you had another young guy, and Mike Tobey, the center, going to Virginia, as well as Justin Anderson and Evan Moses. So it's going to be a good time for area hoops coming up this September.
Okay. Speaking of Justin Anderson, you mentioned him a couple times. We do have an interview that you had with Justin Anderson. I'm going to play it at this time, and you can come and comment and tell me how he did after the interview.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here after the U.S. Capitol and the District Capitol All-Stars here. I'm here with Justin Anderson from Montrose Christian. Last year in this position, I was talking to your teammate, Tyrone Johnson, and now I'm talking to you here. How did you feel playing in the game, and how did your teammate, Evan Nolte, look to you?
It felt great. You know, both Evan and Mike played great on the other team.
And my brothers look good.
I got to get myself
anything I don't finish.
Evan and Mike played really well. I can't wait to be a part of that team down there at UVA. I think we're going to do really well, and I just can't wait.
All right, I seen you and your teammate Mike all day was having a good time after the dunk. Tell me what that was about.
It was great. It was a good time. You know, me and Michael have the same passion for the game. We both love the game a lot. And, you know, we one more time playing with each other, and we took advantage of it and had some fun.
All right, I see you and Evan Nolte. Y'all going to form a nice combo out there in Virginia. What are you guys looking forward to this season?
Just looking forward to, you know, working hard, being the best that we can be, you know, on and off the court, in the classroom as well, and hopefully we can get our team back to the dance.
All right, you still in touch with the attack?
Yeah.
All right, so tell Ty the FSP crew show. Say what's up.
Absolutely.
And congratulations to you as well, man.
Appreciate
Have a good career, baby.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, that was Justin Anderson, 6'5", 200, small forward. Tell me how he did in this game, Black.
He showed out. He and Mike showed out. It was you might catch the Mods Reel sometime today or tomorrow. His guy he was talking about is Michael Carrera. That was the
right.
teammate of Montrose Christian.
Right.
Unfortunately for Mr. Michael Carrera, he was a victim of Montrez Harrell down low in the post that's got the whole crowd going. You probably see this clip later on the Mods Reel. It was a very nasty facial that he gave Michael Carrera, but other than that, the guy showed out, man. Justin Anderson definitely showed out. Virginia is definitely happy with the recruits coming in.
Now, is it 6'5", 200? I'm trying to say if this kid got is lanky or has he got some muscle to him?
He's got some muscle to him.
Okay. He sounded like a baby. I'm listening to him talk, and he sounds like a very young baby.
He's a baby-faced guy, but he definitely knows how to play basketball.
Okay. And then you also had an interview with someone on the other team of the U.S. All-Stars. You had an interview with Seth Allen. He's committed to Maryland, and that's that Virginia versus Maryland thing. So you got a little bit of both sides here. So we're going to play this Seth Allen interview, and then you can tell me about Seth Allen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here at the Capitol Classic. I'm here with the Maryland commit. Seems like Maryland owned the Capitol Classic today, but so many commits out here. But Seth, how did you feel out there balling?
Man, well, we felt good just playing with the rest of the Maryland team. It was a blessing to come out to in front of all the fans. It was good to hear have the Maryland fans show us love, so it was a good time.
Yeah, I see the intensity kind of picked up in the game in the third quarter, but you guys wanted to show out. Definitely looking good. How do you think that backcourt time is going to shake out with you and Sam and Terrell Stoglin and P'Shawn Howard? So many guys in there.
You just got to work for it in practice for real, but I mean, if you deserve to play, you deserve to play. Turgeon, it's all about defense, so if you don't play defense, you don't play.
All right, it was a pleasure seeing you out there, and we look forward to seeing you at Maryland this year. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that was an interview with Seth Allen, who played for the U.S. All-Stars, 6'2", 185 shooting guard. Black, talk to me about Seth Allen.
Seth Allen, man. Maryland is definitely going to be excited, but my question, which I posed to Seth Allen, is I don't know how they're going to get all the guys on the court this season. They have three wonderful guys coming in, and they also have stolen the P'Shawn Howard from last year's squad still there. So it's going to be tricky to see how Maryland plays this up. There's a lot of talent in that backcourt right now, along with some bigs, but also committed to Maryland to help out big Alexander Lynn.
Yeah, I'm looking at the two rosters, mainly on the U.S. All-Stars. I think it's Sam Cassell. He's 6'3", 175. He considers himself a point guard. Then you have Charles Mitchell, who's 6'7", 230, a power forward. He's committed to Maryland. Then, as you just spoke about, Seth Allen, 6'2", 185, shooting guard from Maryland. Then you have Damani Dodd, 6'7", 240, power forward, going to Maryland. And then you got Shaquille Cleary, I don't know about him, 6'10", 260, a center from Maryland. That's a lot of players. Looks like the diverse talent between guards and power forwards and center, but mainly guards. The coach is going to have his hands full here, trying to decide how to play these guys.
Yeah, it's definitely a coaching job that you have to do for all these guys coming in and what's left on the roster at Maryland. But I have no doubt the coach Churchill can find a way to get Maryland rolling in the right direction. And I definitely have to show some love. I talked to these guys after the game. I know I had the interview with them, but I definitely have to show some love to the United States All-Star coaches. Head coach Harry Martin from Patterson High School, assistant coach Theodoric Bell from Patterson High School, and also his assistant Edward Lewis, all from Patterson High School in Baltimore, Maryland. This is the same school that the one Akil Carr attended last year, the best exciting guy, the 5'7 guy from out of Baltimore, Maryland. All his coaches were here coaching the United States All-Stars this year.
Wow. Okay. And I guess a good time was had by all, and I guess there was no kind of incidents. Now, I'm listening to these guys talk, and the reason why I'm saying listen to these guys talk, I can see that it was a diverse squad, meaning it wasn't just all minorities on this squad. Am I correct in assuming that?
You're correct.
Okay. And was it diverse on both sides, or is it
It was more diverse on the United States side as far as the Capitals. I think the Capitals maybe had one white guy on the team as mm-hmm. opposed to the U.S., so they had about two or three.
Okay. And everyone held their own. Did everyone get a chance to play in this game and show their skills? Let me put it that way.
Yeah, everyone got a chance to play. By far, the outstanding performer was Montrezl Harrell, to commit to Virginia Tech. Sam Cassell Jr., he got rolling in the spot there. I think he scored about six or eight straight baskets. He got rolling. It was hard to stop once he got rolling. The bigs, Charles Mitchell and Shaquille Clear, definitely dominated down low in the post when they got the opportunity to get the ball down low. So there was definitely some exciting basketball.
Okay.
Also got to meet, for the people in the area, Harley Skeeter Swift. The first pro from the area, Harley Skeeter Swift, was in attendance. He also was there handing out the MVP awards for the first game and for the second game between the Capitol All-Stars and the United States All-Stars. Harley Skeeter Swift is a two-time All-Met in football and basketball. Was the first pro in the area before there was an NBA. So, you know, he played in the ABA for about 8 or 9 years.
Right.
It's definitely good getting to see him there and getting the opportunity to get an autograph and things of that nature. Also in attendance was Dave Ungrandy. I hope I'm saying his last name right. Dave Ungrandy. He is the author of Born Ready, The Mixed Legacy of Lynn Bias. You want to check anything out about this book? He has a website, Dave Ungrandy, UNGRADY.com. DaveUngrandy.com.
Spell that last name again.
UN, GRADY.com.
Okay, and Grady, okay.
Yeah, he has a Facebook page, Men Bias Legacy Book. And you can also follow him on Twitter at Men Bias Book. But we look forward to having him as a guest in a future episode, so it was good to meet him as well.
Okay.
And also, remember when we had the show Thursday night and we were talking to Bob about DC basketball? He put us on to the DC basketball site.
DCBasketball.com.
Yes. I met the producers last night for the documentary that's supposed to come out. They said they're looking forward to having that at least drop right before March Madness next season. Everything should be finished, wrapped, and edited, and ready to roll. And I talked with John Urshak. So let me give a shout-out to John Urshak. If you want to reach John Urshak, John, E-R-S-H-E-K, at Comcast.net. And the website is DCBasketball.com.
Right, yeah, I checked that out already. And that the documentary for Len Bias is supposed to come out around this time, or March Madness time next year, right?
Well, actually, this documentary is about the whole DMV of area basketball, going back to its origins all the way up to now. So this is going to be a very, very interesting DVD that's going to hit the market.
Okay. Oh, it's a DVD that's going to hit the market. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not going to be showcased on TV anywhere.
I think it'll be showcased in theaters as well. They're trying to get into some theaters.
Okay.
It's going to be very, very, very well done. These guys are top-notch acts, so be on the lookout for that. They're trying to get it out right before March Madness next season.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Is there anything else that you want to put out there? I'm going to probably be playing a commercial shortly. Not unlike some other people that play it after the fact.
Yeah, so, well, actually, there's some guys that also I ran into that I met last year's Capital Classic. And I told them I couldn't make it today because today was a day of rest. But for people that still want to see some unsigned senior players in the area, there's something called the Starting Five Boys DMV Select. This is the first annual game. This is the first time they're throwing this game. It's the last call for the unsigned senior class. It will be held today at Crossland High School, 6901 Crossland High School. It'll be from 1:30 to 2 p.m. Registration is $30 on site, cash or money orders only. From 2 o'clock to 2:45 p.m., there will be training sessions by Barry Aberdeen. And from 3 to 5 p.m., there will be scrimmages. College coaches will be in attendance. All footage will be videotaped. Each player will receive a Starting Five T-shirt. This is not an all-star game. It's a scrimmage. To register for this, you can email ghughes@starting5.org. So if you know any high school players out there that's still unsigned at the seniors, looking to get a little bit of exposure, this is going on today across the high school. If you send them an email, you need your name, your current school, the graduation year, your player position, your height, and your phone number. For more details on this, you want to contact Gary Hughes at 240-398-4697 or Selena Smith at 301-526-2507.
Well, that's for only for
unsigned seniors.
Wow. That's a good thing. And this is the first annual of this.
Yeah, I actually met Hughes last year. Hughes is all about helping out the local talent.
Sure.
Whether you're a big name, not a big name, he just wants to see you go play ball and go to school and get an education. So he's a good guy. I met him last year, and he informed me of this. So I wasn't going to be able to make it, but I definitely would give him a shout-out on the show for it. The Starting Five Boys, the MV Select, first annual Last Call Unsigned Senior College Showcase.
Make sure
if you know somebody who's trying to get into school, who hasn't got an offer yet, make sure they're there today. College coaches will be in attendance.
I like that, man. That's a good thing. I mean, you got some guys that, for one reason or another, haven't gotten signed to a school, committed to a school. They get their supposedly last chance or next to last chance to sign with a school, and somebody is giving them the opportunity for that. That's a good thing. It's always a good thing. So.
Yeah, definitely a good thing that he's doing, and he actually stayed around for the girls' game as well. So I don't know if any unsigned college girls are out there as well, but those numbers that are left, make sure you get in contact with.
Well, I know the level of high school girls, some high school women, and college women is drastically different compared to high school and college basketball players. But I like women's basketball. I like under the rim basketball because I'm a 5'7" former shooting guard. I like that type of play.
That's small for a shooting guard, 5'7".
Hey, man, what can I tell you? I graduated from high school when I was in 72, man, 1972, okay? So the size of people has grown considerably from when I used to play until now. I mean, I was one of the shortest guys on the team, but I was one of the better shooters on the team. So trust me when I say this, I like the under the rim type of game. I'm interested in what kind of talent. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I'm asking you if you saw it. Was any young ladies of high school?
Oh, I actually didn't even arrive until the boys' game started. So I missed both of the girls' games.
That's totally disrespectful, man. But I understand.
But Hughes was there. Gary Hughes was there. He told me that they were very fundamentally sound. So I don't know if that's what you're looking for. That's the type of basketball you like. But it was very fundamentally sound, under the rim basketball, only the way you like it.
So I'm under the rim type of guy, man. So you know that's.
I definitely would have made the trip, though, if I saw a 6'8 girl on the roster. I definitely would have went down there to go see that. But the tallest person I saw was 6'3", and everybody else was an average height between 5'4", 5'7",
5'9".
Right. I'll take a flyer on this, maybe hydrate the system and head on down and get to the boys' game.
Okay. Well, before we move any further, I'm going to play this commercial that we'll be running this commercial. I guess we'll be running this commercial on every show because I don't know how long this promotion is going, but it's supposedly from...
starts this week.
Yeah, it starts the 25th, and it goes on to whenever it ends. The end date was never announced in the commercial, so I guess this is an ongoing promotion until it actually gets scrapped. So we're going to run this commercial, and then we'll come back and talk some NFL. If I can find the commercial, I know I have it. Here it is. Here we go.
Indu Studio 9 and Corrupted Nature Entertainment presents Wasted Wednesdays Reggae Hip Hop Showcase. Hosted by D-Champ CEO, with 93.9's DJ Analyze on the ones and twos. Starting Wednesday, April 25th, and every Wednesday following, at Ross Lounge, 4809 Georgia Avenue, Northwest. Doors open at 9, ladies free till 11, and $5 after. Men $10 all night, $3 Ross Punch, $100 bottles, and group of 5 females get a free bottle of champagne. 21 and up to enter. For showcase sign up, contact D-Champ at 202-440-6550. Be there.
Where is that? Where is this place at, bro? I mean,
Ross Lounge. This is located on Georgia Avenue. One of the hottest Wall 4 in D.C. It's a good friend of mine, D-Champ CEO, who came back into town a couple of months ago, helping him out with a promotion. Man.
Okay. Is this a what type of establishment is this? Let me put it that way.
Oh, it's a nightclub.
It's a nightclub. Okay.
Nightclub.
Okay. I didn't know if it was something more than that, but I had to.
I know you were working on some rap tracks, so this would be the place for you to come review those tracks we were working on.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Hold on a minute here. I'm trying to get my
But while you're doing that, let me give the fans, Maryland Terrapin fans that are listening, if you want to follow any of your commits, the only one that didn't have a Twitter was Shaquille Clear. So we're not going to give Shaquille Clear's Twitter out, but if you want to follow the commits coming in, DeMonte Dodd, he's on Twitter at UMD35Faded. UMD35Faded. That's for DeMonte Dodd. You want to follow Sam Cassell Jr. His Twitter is at Sam2SS2LL. Sam2SS2LL. You want to follow Seth Allen. Seth Allen's handle is BBLL forever underscore Allen. ALLEN. BBLL forever underscore Allen. You want to follow Charles Mitchell. His handle is at Stuck Like Chuck 2. At Stuck Like Chuck 2. And the guy you really want to keep an eye on, Virginia Tech commit, Montrez Harrell. His Twitter handle is at Monster Fred. MONSTATREZZ.
You've been touting this guy ever since we started talking about Capital Classic. You must have been really, really impressed with this guy. 6'7", 225, power forward, going to Virginia Tech.
Oh, man, he's very athletic, very long. That you know, you got to have long guys to compete nowadays with the SWAT stuff. This guy's long, he's athletic, ridiculous dunks, ridiculous putbacks. The one he got on Michael Carrera from Montrose Christian, he just got the rebound and then went straight back up with it. I said, oh, my goodness, look at this dude. He's going to be an animal. Virginia Tech, they got a steal, man. They got a steal in this guy.
Wow. He's going to Virginia Tech.
Going to Virginia Tech.
What kind of squad did Virginia Tech have last year? I'm not exactly sure.
They were so-so.
Did they go to the dance or no?
No. Virginia Tech, no. They weren't in the dance.
Oh, what about the NIT?
I'm not sure about the NIT. They might have participated.
I think Maryland went to the NIT, right?
Yeah, Maryland was there.
Yeah,
Maryland was
there.
But I love for big things for Maryland this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got, like I said, they got a wealth of talent, so we'll see what happens.
I definitely got to show love to Seth Allen, Montrez Harrell, and Sam Cassell, who all retweeted me. I appreciate the love, guys. Appreciate it.
Oh, they retweeted to you, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good thing. All right, then maybe we get a chance to talk to one of them down the road sometime. You never know. So, I mean,
I'll definitely be making my way to Terrapin Arena to catch out some Terrapin games. So, we'll see how this is going to work out. Got to get in touch with some guys up there.
What kind of trek is that for you from where you're at?
Oh, that's nothing. That's probably like a 5-minute train ride from where I am. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got through that. I mean, I shouldn't say through that, but we got a lot of information, some interviews, and all from the results of what Bob Gagin started back in 1974 and still going strong. Appreciate your Black Report and all that and getting the interviews and getting all the good info.
No problem.
Info that.
I just wish you guys were in the area with me. We can hit all these events together, man.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, to get down there, that's like a two and a half, three-hour ride at least.
I know that's a truck for you, but
I
need to somehow get you linked in with the Rucker Park Mob for the summertime.
Yes. You talking about the Rucker Park?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll probably get some reports from you this summer up there.
We'll see what we can do. I'm a Rucker Park. I should start working on that now. So, to see if I can what I can get.
Is that close to you? That's kind of far for you.
No, that's at least an hour ride from where I'm at.
Mm.
At least an hour ride. And
we'll make sure that Victor Gardner, that's VICTORGARDNER, has the check in the mail for you.
He'll be in the States by then. By the end of June, it will be in the States. Maybe even sooner than that, but he'll be back in country versus being out of country in Germany for the last about 2 years or whatever. Anyway, let's as people know, as you know, Black, we are quickly approaching the NFL draft, which is going to take place, which will start when our show starts on Thursday on the FSP Cruise Show at 8 o'clock. The first round is going to be started on that day, and it's going to be highly anticipated. It's definitely sold out. It's been sold out for a while, which is always a hard ticket to get. I had a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, I had started to do the draft, the NFL draft from 1 to 32. I had gotten to 10 because I did it near the end of the show, and I said I was going to complete it the following week. Well, the following week was last week, and I had Kim Fun on, didn't get an opportunity on there, and after I talked to Kim Fun, Vic's cousin Macau was on the line also with me and Kim Fung, and we had expressed talked about some of the crazy things that the Army was coming out in regulation wise to restrict the to clean up the act per se of their personnel, tattoo and civilian wear and hair and whatever else, some grooming regs, and I had caught wind of that, and Macau, I know I didn't know at the time, but I knew after I finished talking to him that he's involved with the military in a different branch, the Navy versus the Army, and when I started running down the 17 new regs, some of them were pretty crazy. Anyway, that's the reason why I didn't do the rest of the round of the first round of the draft. So I'm going to start from the start to finish, 1 to 32, what I think is going to happen. I mean, we can comment on it. And if we get a chance, I'm going to also comment on, and I don't know if I will or not, maybe I'll go from the AFC to the AFC North, West, South, and East, and their needs, and then we go from there. Anyway, and maybe we hit the NFC East. Since you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, man, what you think they need and what I think they need. Anyway.
I know what they need. It's just what cool Mr. Pullback Face, Mr. Plastic Surgery, Mr. Jerry Jones. Is what would Jerry Jones do? Is he on his white line or is he off his meds again?
Mr. Pullback Face. Oh, man. All right, people. Now,
my owner, gotta love him.
I hear you. He's Razorback. He's a Razorback, so through and through. I don't even know. I don't even know if anybody got to ask him what he thought about what happened to Bobby Petrino, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, number call in is 347-637-3220. If you'd like to call in or put a comment on what I'm talking about now, is the NFL draft that's up and coming. Those are the two ways you can do it, chat room or the phone call, or you can just listen and say I'm full of it. But anyway, we're going to the NFL draft. Now, quite naturally, it's been already reported that the Colts have already contacted Andrew Luck and said that he was going to be the number one pick. What else is new? This was nothing new. This was been told back in after the Super Bowl, that even when Peyton, before they even said Peyton wasn't going to be back with the team, that Andrew Luck was going to be their number one pick. I think it's a mistake. I don't think they can go wrong one way or the other, but I think they got the lesser of the two quarterbacks that'll be picked in the first round. But Indianapolis is happy. It's a safe pick, I guess. They go with Andrew Luck, and it fits the typical Indianapolis type of player, especially in the quarterback position, if you understand what I'm talking about, Black.
Yes, I do.
Yes. And if no one understands, I'll break it down to you. I have yet to see, and I had said this on the show before, and if somebody is able to tell me or show me different, then I'll eat my words. But I have yet to see in the quarterback position in the Indianapolis Colts, not the Baltimore Colts, in the Indianapolis Colts, and maybe even the Baltimore Colts, them have, at one point, excuse me, a black quarterback. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me why we would take Andrew Luck. He's a good pick, but there's a lot of people, including Mr. Cosell from NFL Films, who studies NFL players left and right, who thinks Andrew Luck is not the best of the two quarterbacks between RG3 and Andrew Luck. Now, that's one expert black that I listen to. The guy looks at film all the time. He studies film. That's his thing. So he looks at hours of film, and if the man tells me that he thinks RG3 is a better pick, a better quarterback than Andrew Luck, I got to go with my man, Mr. Cosell from NFL Films. I'm getting on the diatribe. Here we go again, but that's
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You heard me. I had the number one pick in the mock draft. You saw which way I went.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with Mr. Cosell. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with me. It's the perception of society. I'm going to say it again. I brought it up on that Saturday show. There's no way that they want to see two black quarterbacks go back-to-back number one. No way.
I think you're right here. I really do. I'm not one to shout this,
but I'm shouting this now.
I'm not
trying to be racist or anything. This is just my opinion, black the boogie, but yeah.
Yeah. I have to agree with you, Black. I definitely have to agree with you. Anyway, number two pick, quite naturally, Washington Redskins. They traded up with the Rams to get the number two pick to ensure that they get a franchise quarterback, and that franchise quarterback, quite naturally, everybody knows now, is going to be Robert Griffin III, which is going to be a dynamic, perfect, I think it's going to be a perfect fit for the D.C. area. He's going to fit, the brother's going to fit right in. I hate to tell you, Black, but the NFC East is in trouble when this kid comes to the NFC East. I really believe that.
Let me tell you, this is going to be the first smart decision that the Washington Redskins have made ever since hiring Joseph A. Gibbs the first time.
Yes, yeah, that's true. That's true. This kid is a dynamic player with his legs and especially his pocket presence and his deep ball. I can't say anything else. I think this kid is going to show out, and in my opinion, that's the pick for Washington Redskins. Moving on to the Minnesota Vikings, they need help on the offensive line. I think this is the natural fit for them. I don't see them going any other place, but this is the NFL draft, and some of these NFL organizations do some wacky things, but I think they're going with Matt Khalil to protect the blind side of Christian Ponder. Moving on to number four. Now, this can get dicey. They can go two ways. They can go a DB or they can go a running back. I'm thinking, and I could be wrong, I'm thinking that they're going to go a running back. Now, four and five can flip-flop. If Cleveland goes to the DB, meaning Morris Claiborne, then number five, Tampa Bay, is going to go to Trent Richardson. I do really believe that. I think they want to get that running back. But if Cleveland decides to go Trent Richardson, then I believe that the need for Tampa Bay is Morris Claiborne. So these two can flip-flop. I don't know what you think about that, Black, but you can talk to me about that before we go further.
You're right. Those two can flip-flop. I think Trent Richardson, I had a lot of talk this week about Trent Richardson, so I think he's moving up. It's hard for me to say that is for guys drafting a running back in the first round. I'm not a big fan of that, but he's definitely moving up. He looks like a very, very safe pick here now.
Okay. Well, anyway, next week, what I'm going to do, where I have it here, I'm going to talk about the running back class of 2012. We'll know what each team has picked and where these some of these name and some of these no-name running backs have gone to. I'm going to be talking about what I like to talk about a lot. I don't think that they're passé or downplayed. I talk about running backs. I talk about when I wake up. I talk about before I go to sleep. I like running backs. That's what I'm going to be talking about on the master plan next week.
Yeah, running I'm very backs. Interested to see where my man from Virginia Tech, David Wilson, is going.
Right. So that's what I
see where he gets drafted.
Yep, that's what I plan on talking about next Sunday. That'll be the day right after the draft, and we'll see what happens and who goes where. And that's key for some of these players, where they go and see if they're going to get to any kind of playing time or decent playing time, depending on where they go. All right, let's go to number six. Number six, now, St. Louis, depending on what they want to do here, if they think they can get this guy a little further down or they don't want to take the chance, I think they're probably high on this guy. I would think since Sam Bradford had practically no one to throw to last year, I would think they would be taking Justin Blackmon on this pick. I can't see them not picking Justin Blackmon. They need somebody. They need a receiver to grow with Sam Bradford. And this is, in my opinion, one of the best wide receivers in the draft that have quite a few wide receivers coming out. So I think he's the 1A, 1 and 1A of the wide receivers, and I would take him first. Quite naturally, the next team behind that would be the Jacksonville Jaguars. They also need a wide receiver. Now, I can see them taking some other things, but a decent wide receiver, which is Michael Floyd, I think would be a good fit for Mr. Henny or Mr. Blaine Gabbert, depending on who actually gets the starting job. I think it's probably going to be Henny because I think Blaine Gabbert's got the David Carr disease already. I think he's duck and throw already. So it's and I don't know if you listen to or look at or read anything that's on NFL.com, but Michael Lombardi sent a letter or something to Blaine Gabbert telling him he needed to get his act together and stop stand tall in the pocket and deliver the ball instead of doing a duck and throw or throw and duck or whatever. So he kind of read in the riot act. If you go on the NFL.com website, you can read what he had to say. I don't have it in front of me right now, but he laid him out pretty well.
Mm.
So anyway, going from you have any comments on the 6 and 7 about Floyd and Blackmon?
No, I'm listening and I'm listening to learning all at the same time.
Okay, at number 8 now. Everyone knows that the Miami Dolphins tried to get Peyton Manning. They settled for David Garrard. They have Matt Moore. And I'm trying to think of the other quarterback they have in their midst now. Who they have in their midst now? I'm trying to think of who they have. It's a no-name quarterback that's I can't believe I don't know who this quarterback is. They have David Carr, Matt Moore, and I'll find it in a minute. Teams who they have in their on their roster now. Anyway, what I'm saying is this: the Miami Dolphins are in need of a quarterback, and they are going to be if the Cleveland Browns don't go and take Ryan Tannehill, which I don't believe they will do, then I think the fit is with the Miami Dolphins. They got a new coach, new offensive coordinator. Tannehill used to be the quarterback for the offensive coordinator. So I think that would be a good fit. He would know the weaknesses of Ryan Tannehill, and I would think that the Miami Dolphins would want to build with a new quarterback in the fold. So, yeah, Matt Moore, David Garrard, and Pat Devlin, which is a no-name quarterback. So one of those three quarterbacks are going to be not on the roster because you normally don't keep four quarterbacks. So I think Miami's going to take Ryan Tannehill. Moving on to that. Excuse me. Carolina is the next pick. They need a defensive help for them. So I think they're going to take Fletcher Cox, a defensive tackle from Mississippi. I think this guy is what they need to get a pass rush. Quite naturally, they're in a league with Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, and Josh Freeman, who's gotten some more toys to play with, as in Vincent Jackson. So you need a pass rush in that division to be able to compete. And that Fletcher Cox is going to help that. Moving from there, Buffalo needs an offensive tackle in the worst way. They need to shore up that offensive line to keep Fitzpatrick upright, which is a priority in order for them to succeed. Jonathan Martin from Stanford, I think it will be a good pick for them. I don't know if they're going to take him, but I would take Jonathan Martin. He's probably a better run blocker than a pass blocker, but you can work with guys that have potential and deal with that. Now, this is the next pick, which is the Kansas City Chiefs. This may be a controversial, I wouldn't say controversial, but this may be a pick that may not be popular or may be popular depending on how you roll one way or the other. I'm thinking they need help on the defensive lines, particularly right in the smack in the zero position, in the nose position. I'm talking about Dontario Poe. Now, if there's one guy, if there's one coach that I think can motivate somebody on the defensive side and can relate to this, today's player, it's the even-tempered Romeo Crennel. And I think this would be a good fit for Dontario Poe if he has some motivational issues. I think Romeo Crennel is the type of guy that can handle problem child, per se. I'm not saying Dontario Poe may be a problem child, but if he was, I think the disposition of Romeo Crennel being a defensive type coach can get him motivated to do what he needs to do from week to week. From there, I will slip on to the Seattle Seahawks. Now, the Seattle Seahawks are going to need some help on the in the linebacker position. And I think the help they're going to get is from Melvin Ingram from the linebacker position from South Carolina. I think that would be a good fit for them, and Melvin Ingram would be a dynamic player on that Seattle defense. Hey, Black, stop me when you think you disagree with something or something you think that would be a better fit for them, then we'll go from there, all right?
No problem.
Okay. Start going with number 13. What's that?
I said, do your thing. This is the master plan.
Okay. At number 13, Arizona Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals still need an upgrade in the offensive line. David DeCastro and Cordy Glenn, could be options. But with Upshur still on the board, they need a pass rusher. So I'm taking Courtney Upshur, outside linebacker, and we'll see what happens from there. I like this guy. I think they can benefit from that. They need a pass rusher. They're in the NFC West, which is you got Sam Bradford there. You got who's in the NFC West? You got Alex Smith in there, and you also have maybe Matt Flynn in there. So, I mean, you got two teams that are primarily running backs, running teams, but you also need a pass rush. And I think this guy can fit that bill. Now we move into Black's team, number 14. This guy, I wouldn't say pretty much fell to him, but I think this is a good fit. Black can maybe dispute it, and this time I can get Black in there and give me an idea if I'm in the right direction or you would go in a different direction. I'm thinking the safety from Alabama, Mark Barron. No problem. Like I said, I think they need help back in the secondary. That's one of the weaknesses, especially in the safety position. And Mark Barron is a strong candidate to fit that. Or you could go with Dre Kirkpatrick. But one of those two guys is my option. What is yours, Black?
I like the pick. We need safety help. I don't know if I would draft the safety that high, just because his last name is not Taylor, as in Sean Taylor. But it could be a good pick.
Okay. All right, we're gonna run through these. I got a little more than 3 minutes left, and I'm almost halfway through them. Philadelphia. This guy is moving up and down, and people are not too sure about this guy, but I think Philly needs help on the front line, on the defensive side, and I think Quentin Couples would be a good fit. The defensive end would be a good fit for them. Moving with the Jets, they need help on the offensive line, especially on the right side. David DeCastro, an offensive guard for Stanford, I would think would be able to fit that bill pretty well. Going to Cincinnati, since if the Dallas Cowboys do not take Dre Kirkpatrick, I see the Cincinnati Bengals taking Dre Kirkpatrick from Alabama. I think they need some help on the backside, and that would benefit them greatly if it took Dre Kirkpatrick. Going to 18, San Diego Chargers, offensive guard, offensive tackle. They need help on the offensive line. I would take Cordy Glenn from Georgia, offensive guard, offensive tackle. Number 19, the Chicago Bears. They need help also in the quarterback-driven league. A lot of teams need help in the back end to stop these quarterbacks from throwing downfield. So they need Stephen Gilmore, cornerback from South Carolina. You may have thought that they may need a wide receiver. They got Brandon Marshall. They got those other receivers for complimentary. So they got a stud wide receiver. I think they need to concentrate on the back end. The defense, the front seven is pretty stout. They need help on the back end. I think Stephen Gilmore will do them good there. Number 20, Tennessee Titans. Offensive center or offensive guard. They need help on the offensive line. They had problems Chris Johnson talked about it. He wasn't getting his blocking. I mean, he dissed his offensive lineman, and the head coach admitted it that the offensive line wasn't working as well as it should. So offensive center, offensive guard, Peter Konch from Wisconsin, which pushes out offensive linemen just like Iowa pushes out offensive linemen. Going from there, 21, the Cincinnati Bengals got another pick. Now they're going to – I think this is a reach, but I would take a flyer on this guy. I think he's the number three type of wide receiver. Kendall Wright, wide receiver from Baylor. So we'll see what happens there, but that's what I like, Kendall Wright. And we're going to be going over because I want to get this out this week, because next week we'll know what the results are. So I want to get this out this week.
I still think it's too high for Kendall Wright.
I
know you guys are enamored with him playing with Robert Griffin III, but you guys are overvaluing this guy.
Well,
I could be wrong, but Right now, no, no, that's too high.
Well, this is my thought process here. And we're going to be going overtime, people, and then we'll give you the particulars about calling next week in overtime. But this is my thought. I wanted to go either Kendall Wright or Doug Martin because they're not going to re-sign, if I'm not mistaken, Cedric Benson. So they're going to be in looking for a running back. And they didn't sign Michael Bush because Michael Bush went elsewhere. So Doug Martin.
Went to Chicago and ended my boy's career.
Yeah, right?
Very disturbed at that
one. Tell me about it. There's going to be a few guys that we could talk about in later shows or whatever that are going to be sitting out, not wanting to sign their tender, quarterback and running backs. So, but I could go in either way, Doug Martin or Kendall Wright. I think they're going to probably try to grab somebody, a veteran in a running back, and get another young wide receiver to go with Andy Dalton and what's the other guy's name? Oh, my God, I can't believe can't remember his name. The wide receiver from Cincinnati.
From Cincinnati? I know the guy you're talking about, but I can't think of his name.
Well, I think they wanted a young group of wide receivers and a quarterback, so they may go with Kendall Wright. I could be wrong. We'll see what happens. Number 22, Cleveland Browns have their second pick in the first round. They addressed their running back early by taking Trent Richardson, but they need somebody that's going to block for them. So they're going to take Riley Reiff, who's sitting out there, an offensive guard. That's who I think is going to take with the 22nd pick. Then we go to the bad boy, the trouble boy, of one of the trouble boys of the DBs, that the Detroit Lions. And they need help, but I don't know, like I had said in previous programs, if the Detroit Lions are going to be the Cincinnati Bengals of yesteryear, because this pick I'm picking here is he's got issues. I'm talking about Janoris Jenkins, a cornerback from North Alabama, formerly of, Florida or whatever it was?
Of Florida, North Alabama, cornerback. Extremely talented kid. I think Dallas still might make a play for him with their early pick, but this is a talented guy who just keeps falling. I mean, you have him going to Detroit here, that's incredible.
Yeah,
this been this time last year, he would have been, if not the top corner, the top three corners in the league.
Yeah, but the problem is this, and it's still a problem because he's going to Detroit, and Detroit has been the on the police blotter in this offseason. Players have been, one after another, been on the police blotter. And now you're going to add Janoris Jenkins. I mean, to me, he's the best available guy, and they need help in the secondary, and this guy is sitting there. But the issues, off-field issues that he's had in the past, sends red flags if he should go to Detroit or not, if they should pick him, because, like I said, they're getting their reputation of being the Cincinnati Bengals of this last few seasons versus what the Cincinnati Bengals were years back. So, but I would take he would have to take a flyer on him. I mean, you have to take him. I mean, you need help in the backfield, in the secondary, and this guy's sitting there, and no one's taking him until 23rd pick. He's not going to be there after this. You got to take him. So we move on to 24th, Pittsburgh Steelers. They need help. They need help on the defensive line. Michael Brockers, from a defensive tackle from LSU, is my pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going to the Denver Broncos, who also need help on the defensive line. We'll go to Joe Paterno's formerly Joe Paterno's university, Devin Still, from a defensive tackle from Penn State. Then we'll go to my Houston Texans.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
My Houston Texans. The only team in Texas that counts.
Oh, boy.
With
this nightmare continues on a Sunday, April 22nd. This nightmare isn't over yet.
Not even. It's just started. You kidding? 26th pick. The Houston takes Luke Kuechly, whatever the heck his name is. He's a linebacker. D'Amico Ryans is gone. This is a guy that may come back here and take his spot or help take his spot from Boston College. I like this pick. I think it's a makes sense pick. This organization is a make sense organization. That's why I'm a fan of this organization, Houston Texans for life.
Oh,
anyway, we're going into the I hate to even say this name. Number 27, New England Patriots. New England Patriots take they need help. They need a lot of help on the defense. They're one of the worst defensive teams along with Green Bay in the NFL. Even though they're a high-scoring team, they're one of the worst teams on defense. They need help on the defensive line, and they look to USC, and they look to a defensive end by the name of Nick Perry. The other choice could be another wide receiver, Stephen Hill, but I think they're going to go defense. This is too soon, in my opinion, for Stephen Hill. He's a project. Anyway, going to the...
I would agree with that.
Anyway, Green Bay Packers, they need help. Like I said, New England needed help. They need help on it in the defense. They're dead last. Dead last for the Green Bay Packers. They need help. Dante Hightower drops in their lap. From the University of Alabama, the linebacker Dante Hightower would be a great pick for the Packers. They have Matthew Stafford. They have Jake Cutler. And they have, who else is in there? Let me see. You got Chicago Bears. You got the Detroit Lions. And they also have Christian Ponder. Dante Hightower will be getting to know these guys on a personal basis, each one of those quarterbacks. Trust me. Number 29, we're getting there, people. Baltimore Ravens. There's some key people that have left the Baltimore Ravens on the defense. And Whitney Mercellus, defensive end / outside linebacker from Illinois, is he's raw. But he's an athlete, and he has a lot of effort, and he knows how to get to the quarterback. With those veterans, they can groom him to be able to wreak havoc on the defensive line or on a linebacker position. Very good players / coaches are on that team, especially on the defensive side. So he would land in an ideal position for him to learn. Then we go to the number 30th pick, San Francisco 49ers. They need help, a little help on the offensive side. The defense is pretty set. The offensive guard from Wisconsin, they push him out all the time. Keith Zeitler would be a decent pick for offensive lineman for the San Francisco 49ers.
How about a non-fumbling kick returner?
Yeah, that would help. That would definitely help. Yes. Well, maybe he's got the knucklehead out of him. That was a rookie. Now maybe he's got the knucklehead out of him. Hopefully he does. So let me put it this way: he probably will not be put in that position again. Ted Ginn gets hurt, someone else is gone there. He will not be put in that position again because he was not ready for that show. Anyway, then we go to the evil empire again, the New England Patriots. You know, people, I do not like the New England Patriots, along with a lot of other people that don't like the evil empire. But They need help on a defensive side. I think they're going to take a defensive linebacker, outside linebacker, Andre Branch from Clemson. They do need corner or safety help here, but I think they're going to take a linebacker. I think they may be able to get a safety or corner a little further back and go from there. And last but not least, this guy fell into the lap. Some of these picks just fall into guys' laps, and it's just a natural fit. And I think this is a natural fit because of the circumstances of what happened to the number two, one, two, and three of their tight ends. The New York Giants, their tight ends are all lamed up for the most part. Kobe Fleener, tight end from Stanford. It seems like a natural fit to fall right into the Giants' lap.
That would be a steal as well if they pull that off.
Yes. He's not. He doesn't block well. He's not a blocking tight end per se, but he's a heck of a talent at the tight end position. And if he's not taken before then, which I kind of doubt he will be because of the needs of the other teams, this is a natural fit for the New York Giants to pick up Kobe Fleener with the last pick. That's the 32 picks. Black, you got any discrepancies of anything I may have put out there, if you can remember them all?
No discrepancies. Just a bit surprised if Jerry does go safety on the first day. I'll just be surprised with that.
Well,
I'll be surprised if the 49ers don't pick a non-fumbling kick return.
Well, what do you think, before we leave here, what do you think that the besides the safety, what do you think the Cowboys would go after, or what do you think they need?
I think they need a big, big nose tackle for that 3-4. And I also think we need another pass rusher. We need safeties, we need corners, but, you know, we have a whole offseason to install Rob Brown's defense, so we'll see how that looks. But I think that if we can get that big, big nose tackle, we can move Ratliff over to the end and have him rushing off the Marcus Ware.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought Poe would fill the bill, but I'm not hearing. First Poe shot up the charts, and now he's falling down the charts. Who knows if he'll shoot back up the charts again.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely like his size and nose tackle. I would love to have a guy like that, somebody like a Halosi Nata. This a big nose tackle that you need for that 3-4 to make it go, to make it pop.
Well, that's true. All right, people. All right, Black, we come to the conclusion of this show. Is there anything that you want to say to the people before I close this, have my parting words and close this show out?
I want the people to have a good day. It's currently raining here in Washington, D.C., so after this show, I'll be going back to bed. So people, enjoy your day.
Let me put it this way: it's overcast and cloudy here up on the East Coast where I'm at in Jersey, with a little chill in the air. It is the type of weather to cozy up in bed, especially with your significant other. It's definitely that type of weather, so I can't hate on you for that. With that being said,
wake me up at 3:30 for the Lakers and Thunder.
Okay. with that being said, I want to thank Black, my man, for being here and for the whole show and giving that information about the oldest high school all-star game in the country, which would be the Capitol Classic. I want to thank you for those interviews. No problem, man.
I just wish that the guy like Victor Gardner, the VICTORGARDNER, was more literate like you, was able to load sound bites with no problem. But that's neither here nor there.
I you said it most eloquently. I can't speak on it any more than that. With that being said, tune in next week. Same time, same place. Like I said, we're going to be talking about the NFL draft, the results of it. It's a three-day thing, which starts on Thursday when our show starts, which is 8 o'clock. The FSP crew show starts at 8 o'clock, the same time as the NFL draft. So if you want to listen, look at the draft and listen to us at the same time, you can do that. It's 8 o'clock, 8 to 9. We're only going to be in for an hour. Me, Black, and Jeff the Joker are going to be talking about the NFL draft and whatever else hits our mind. Then we're going to
We also could have a possible guest, so I'll keep you updated.
Okay. And so you hear that, people. Black is our producer, and he gets all these fabulous guests. So we may have a guest. We'll be just tune in. You'll see it on Facebook or Twitter, one of those two. You'll be notified like that. That's 8 to 9 on Thursday. And then we roll into Saturday, the last part of the draft, the third part of the draft, which will be on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Is the FSP show hosted by VICTORGARDNER, Mr. Victor Gardner. hosted by myself, Black, and his cousin, Vic's cousin, Macau, will jump in and out. And we'll talk about the first 2 days of the draft and the draft that's going on Saturday. And like I said, the master plan will conclude it all. All 3 days, and get the what we think about the draft, and also talk about the running backs, which is my thing. We'll talk about running backs next Sunday at 10 o'clock. I'm going to make it an hour and a half show because I think that's what's going to be needed for that. It's going to be an hour and a half show. We're going to be talking about, like I said, the NFL draft and also the running backs. So tune in for that. With that being said, this is going to be what I'm going to be saying every time I close this show out, because I live by this day in and day out. I've been doing this for a long time. I've seen people who don't do it and live to regret it. So this is how I feel, and then we're going to play a song called Heather, with it's going to be an artist, Heather Headley, which is He Is. But I'm going to close this show out by saying this. I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again this week, and that's probably one of the things I want to say for the rest of the show. Life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, He can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future, so be careful, and I'll say it again, how you treat people. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. I want to say peace, my brother, to Black. God bless you. Have an enjoyable week, and I will talk to you on Thursday.
No problem. God bless you too, man.